Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Please turn with me to the book of Exodus quickly as we move toward Holy Communion this morning. Exodus 33. Be good to read the whole chapter of Exodus 33 sometimes, because you're going to find that God's people had failed him. And everybody say, surprise, surprise. God's people have a history of failing him. God has no history of ever failing his people. Man has a history of unfaithfulness. God has no such history. God is a God of fidelity. He never fails. He's always faithful. Paul put it this way: I have the capacity to fail him if we deny him. Yet, he doesn't have the capacity to fail us. And he will not respond unfaithfully to us. Even when he chastens us, he's being a faithful father. He's not abandoning us. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible of him? He said, even if I deny him, he cannot deny himself. But he remains faithful. I love that about the Lord, his faithfulness. Can you say amen? Once again, and you can read this, God's faithfulness and man's unfaithfulness to God, even after God's done so much to provoke faithfulness from him. Amen. You can read this throughout all the Old Testament. You can see it in the New Testament when people begin to drift away. You can see it in the church of Ephesus when they had their religion really down pat, but their relationship had gone awry. And they lost their lampstand, that special manifest presence of God. If you've got oil causing a flame to burn, you've got a manifestation of the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? This is not just some religious words. This is talking about God manifesting himself to those people and through those people to the world about them. Can you say amen? Let me say this to you about your personal witness. If God can manifest to you, he can manifest through you. But it all begins with being in a place where God can manifest. That means to make himself real in your heart and in your life. Now, between manifestations of his presence, there's going to be periods where you have to just stand upon the word by faith. How many know you don't live in that? It can be life-changing when it happens if you're consistent after it happens. But if you treat it as a dream or an unreality, amen, and you let what you're feeling, sensing, what your circumstances are at a given time begin to dictate to you, amen, how things are between you and God and what he's going to do instead of what the word of God says. See, you don't live in that manifest presence. It comes and you experience it. And God wants you to stand on what has happened to you during that experience. But in between those mountaintops, he wants you to stand on the word instead of your emotions or your circumstances. That's where the use of faith comes in. But faith doesn't cancel the manifestation or the need for it. You need to come into the presence of God today. I look at Christians in this room that don't know I'm looking at them right now. Because you think, I don't see you, I'm just seeing the other folks. So the kind of, you know, the veneer is down. And I'm glad it's down. I'm glad you're not there looking like robots this morning with a pasted-on smile. I'm glad you're having to grin and bear it sometimes. I'm glad to see the real you on Sunday morning, because guess what? The people in this world are going to see the real you on Monday morning. Can you say? And the real you is going to be that witness for the Lord, or that real you is not going to be that witness for the Lord. But one thing is for sure, people are going to get a look at the real you and the real me. Amen. So I'm not going to solicit a false something from anyone in this room. And I'm not going to criticize you for having problems and being touched by them. When I have problems, believe it or not, it bothers me. And my wife said,
amen, brother.
But I don't stay down in that hole. And my wife said,
amen, brother.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I really didn't cue her up for that. Amen. She lives with me and she sees the real me. And nothing pleases her more to see the reality of what I preach taking place in my own life. Because if she can't see that, then she may start losing hope. When she goes through things, can God bring me through? Can you say amen? It's one thing to preach under the anointing. It's another thing to walk this out in your life. I've seen great preachers behind the pulpit that when you got them out from behind the pulpit, what was really bothering them began to come out. when we had coffee somewhere, had a meal somewhere, if they'd been hurt or something went bad wrong in their life, all of that began to pour out. And it was good that they could pour that out. And it's good I could pour something out like that. Amen. But after we pour it out, we need to bring it to God. We need to get the issue settled. We need to get our joy back and our vision back and our strength back. Amen. So that we can walk this before God's people, not just talk this before God's people. It's got to work for me. The good news is I'm supposed to be the first partaker of the fruits. The husbandman is supposed to eat the first fruit. Can you say amen? The one that's taking care of the vines. So I get to eat first before I come. That's why I'm so wired when I come. Believe me, I haven't had coffee this morning. I don't drink coffee this morning. I don't want caffeine, amen, hyping me up instead of the Holy Spirit. So after the way that I worked last night, and going to bed in the wee hours this morning, 5-ish, I guess, before I fell asleep. Because I get excited when I study. Amen. So if I'm studying at 3, it's going to be 5 before I really drift off. And then, you know, the clock's going to go off. Actually, my inward clock goes off before the outward clock goes off most of the time. Amen. My inward clock goes off, and about 8 o'clock, my eyes pop open and say, "It's church day." I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad I'm excited. And then they start blinking like a frog in a hailstorm. Amen. Because that's a little something you probably won't understand. This is the deep south. Can you say amen? Frog in a hailstorm does a lot of blinking of his eyes. Hail is falling. Not hailstorm. Hailstorm. Amen. I get excited about Communion Sunday. I get excited about these things. I'm not like the situation where a woman comes in and says, "Honey, it's time to get up and go to church." And the man says, "You know, he's still in bed," pulled the covers half over his head and said, "I don't want to go to church this morning. Nobody there likes me anyway. But honey, it's time to get up. Come on now, get up. Let's go to church. I really don't want to go to church this morning. No one cares if I show up anyway. I just don't feel like going this morning." "Well, honey, it's Sunday morning and it's time to go to church. And besides that, you're the pastor." I'm glad I'm not like that anymore. That could have been me at one time. Amen. But I don't see it as a burden. I see it as a blessing. What a privilege it is to come together and preach His Word. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to stay up late and study His Word. I want you to know there's no caffeine in me yet. There will be later today. I was making coffee at work, and a guy came up to me, a maintenance man. He's got 3 brothers who are preachers, 3 brother-in-laws, rather, and they're all preachers. And he said, "Why is it that at every family gathering, those 3 men keep emptying the coffee pot?" I said, "Because we need stimulation. We're fatigued most of the time if we're pastoring full-time and preaching out there. There's always something, amen, that we need to do or something that we're there. And to keep up, we just pour in the coffee, I guess. It helps me." But let me tell you something about the anointing. And let me tell you something. Let's don't even talk about the anointing for me. Let me tell you something about spiritual excitement and anticipation. When you start looking for good things, expecting good. This is Communion Sunday. We're going to remember Him. Yeah. Honey, as far as I'm concerned, it don't get no better than that. Hallelujah. Amen. The emphasis is going to be squarely on Jesus today. Amen. We're not going to deal with the social problems and political problems and financial problems of our nation. For just a few moments, we're going to look at the one that has the answer for it all. Hallelujah. Amen. The immorality, the fierceness of our generation. We can talk about it and we will deal with it on occasion. This, however, is not that occasion. There is one that is going to come and split the eastern sky someday. There is one that's going to stand upon Mount Olivet one day. There is one that when He comes to this planet is going to rule with a rod of iron. There is one that's not coming on the back of a donkey, but coming on a white horse with a name on his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is one coming to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God. There is one coming that we won't have to worry about all the military nuclear buildup, because when He comes, amen, to stand upon the earth and sit upon His rightful throne upon the earth, amen, and take His place as the Lord of the universe and the Lord of this world, they will beat their weapons of war and destruction into tools of agricultural development and cultivation. They will beat their swords into plowshares. And their, see, that's the planting. And they'll beat their spears into pruning hooks. There's the harvest. And there won't be 63 million people, amen, that will die annually from hunger and hunger-related diseases in the world like cholera and dysentery. That's not going to happen when he comes. Hallelujah. And not only is the world going to change culturally, but the world's going to change in nature is going to change itself. The curse is going to be finally broken over this earth to the degree that a child will play at the hole of a poisonous asp. Oh, let's give him praise. This is praise tongues. Let's just give him praise. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. This is an opportunity to praise him. It's going to happen soon. And the lamb and the lion, you're going to get to see something on this planet. The lamb and the lion are going to be laying down side by side, and nothing shall hurt in his holy mountain. Isn't that incredible? And the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. What is that paint that shows the world half covered in paint and says, we can cover you, we will cover you? Is it, it's one of those one of those expensive paint companies has the, shows a globe half covered. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters and waves cover the sea. Isn't that incredible, the day that's coming? All right, let's get into this message. Hallelujah. Meeting with God. Everybody say meeting with God. Entering into the presence of the Lord. Say it with me. Entering in to the presence of the Lord. Exodus 33, man has failed and been unfaithful, as we previously stated. God says man is so unfaithful, so unholy, so ungrateful, so stiff-necked, he called him. He said, I'm going to keep my promise, and I'm going to get you to the promised land. But I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel. He'll lead the way. How many know God can send angels to do mighty things? Moses says, no way. No way. Before I read this little text here, 33:7 through 11, I just want to put a context for it. Moses said, uh-uh. It's not good enough to have an angel. We want your presence with us. If we don't have your presence, we're not going any further. See, there are two categories of people. Some people would have said, as long as you get us to that place we want to be, where we can eat the honey and drink the milk and live in that lavishness of your blessing. We don't care where you take us personally or the angel takes us, because what we're eye on is that place, not you. Moses was not like that. Moses says, no, sir, no, no. No matter how great it's going to be over there without you, it's going to be incomplete. Can you say amen? And without your presence, we're not going a step further. Amen. There was a pillar of fire by night that said, God is right here with you. Not just the angel of the Lord, but God himself is here with you. There was a cloud by day that said what? When Israel moved, amen, when the cloud moved, Israel followed the cloud because God was leading them personally. Not through an angel, but personally, God was leading them. And Moses had a heart for God. The Bible said Israel saw his wonders. They knew the things that God could do. But Moses knew his ways. He knew the heart of God toward Israel and his people. And Moses was actually saying to God, no, no. Let's somehow find reconciliation. We can't have all of these blessings without your presence. They're no good without your presence. You're going to find out something about God's choice material blessings. Without his presence, your soul still isn't going to be satisfied. You're going to find something out about the lack of physical material blessings. If your soul is satisfied with his presence, you're going to be blessed beyond telling. No matter what kind of wheels you have. They're coming out with an expedition. A Ford Expedition, a variation of the Explorer. It's going to have a 500 horsepower engine in it. Amen? It's going to be some. I mean, in the time of gas crisis, they're coming out with a 500 horse image in a Ford vehicle. The same guy that did Shelby Mustangs and it's got a deal with Ford to make this sucker. Amen. You can get it for a mere $100,000. Amen. But if you don't have, even as a Christian, if God gave you such a ride, amen, and you don't have His presence in your personal experience, you're not going to be happy. I'm serious. You can have that house with more bathrooms than you have people to use them. Can you say amen? Amen. When I was in Haiti, believe me, one bathroom with one facility would have been such a blessing, because there were none. None. I remember an evangelist friend of mine in the middle of the night saying, "I've got to go." He said, "You know, we're in the middle of nowhere. We don't know where we are. It got dark on us before we got there. We're 8 hours from Port-au-Prince. We went through riverbeds. We're in the boondocks. There are no streetlights. There are no lights. There's nothing. Nada. There's no electricity. No running water. I mean, we're out there in the dark, darkity, dark, dark." And he says, "Bring a flashlight." Now listen, for you ladies, that may be fine. I was uncomfortable. I've never been in a restaurant eating anywhere, and Mike say, "Rev, I got to go to the restroom." I don't know what it is about you gals. Whether you have to go or not, you want somebody to go with you. I can't imagine saying, "I got to go. Come on." What's wrong with you? But I understood it. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere, and he says, "You know, we got to see where we're going." And of course, he didn't want me to go all the way with him. Just go to a place that we could find a place for him, and then shine the light down to the ground. So I got the flashlight. That's all he asked for, was a flashlight. I got the flashlight. And you got to see these preachers all fixed up on Sunday and visualize this out here. It all changes out there. I mean, it humbles you down. You're not in the first church in your great new suit with that great tie anymore. So I got this flashlight, and I go, and I'm shining around, and finally there's a clump of bushes over there, amen, about, you know, 50 yards or whatever, and I shined it on the bushes till he got behind them. Then I turned the flashlight off. And I waited a while, and I realized this was serious bathroom stuff. So I waited and I waited. And then I heard this guy says, throw me the paper. And I thought, paper? See, things you don't even think about. Paper? We don't have no stinking paper. What are we going to do? He said, "Did you bring the passage? You said get a flashlight." You know, when you're used to going to somewhere to preach, and you're not going as a missionary, you're going as a guest speaker, and they put you up at a hotel in downtown Port-au-Prince. They put you up at the Hilton in Jamaica. It's not like preaching in the boondocks. It's not like that. In the boondocks, things like paper is important. Amen? Now, I don't know how he handled it. I don't want to know how he handled it. So we'll just go on from there. Tell you the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the only thing I knew to tell him. Then I thought, what about me? We're going to be here for several days. But anyway, we worked that all out, and it all kind of worked out. Amen. Hallelujah. But it was funny. It was, and it still is. Hallelujah. You can have it all. You can have it all. You can have all the knowledge. You can see these scriptures and go to a Bible school, and you can learn all about what all these words mean in the Greek and Hebrew and the Aramaic. You can study how it was spoken in the Aramaic. You can have it all up here. But if you don't have a personal relationship in your heart, you're still going to be empty after a church service where praise has been offered and the word has been brought forth. Can you say amen? So Moses says, "No, we're not going. We don't just want an angel to take us to the place. The place without you won't be anything lasting and fulfilling. We gotta have you. We're desperate for you, Lord. See, it makes a difference when you come to church not to just get biblical principles to take you to a place of blessing. Amen. To get in touch with a God who will come into your heart, come into your life, and satisfy by His own personal presence the deepest longings of your soul and heart. And bring peace to your mind and power and strength to your life. Moses said, no. If he put it before the children of Israel, I believe they would have broke for the promised land. Let the angel lead us right on in, and let's build those houses. Let's eat that honey, and let's drink that milk. That's the end of some church services, just to get you to that place instead of bring you to this person. And if you don't ever meet this person in a relationship, that place after a while. See, God already warned them. Said, beware when you go into a land that flows with milk and honey in Deuteronomy to the new generation that was going to that place called the promised land. That place of God's blessing. Externally, can you say, man? He said, beware when you go in that you what? Because without His personal presence, what's going to happen? That you don't forget the Lord your God. When you what? When you're eaten and art full of those blessings. And you begin to lose that deep appreciation for Him. Because if you're satisfied with the stuff outside of Him, you're going to miss Him after a while. And not even miss Him. Oh, but if you go into that place with Him, you get the best of both worlds. Totally fulfilled with joy unspeakable, full of glory by the presence of God. And then blessed by the blessings of God. Fulfilled within and without. How many Hollywood stars and starlets are checking into the Betty Ford Center or looking for their next new relationship? Can you say, man? I got me a wife that I'm happy with. Hallelujah. My wife even said hallelujah. Amen. Not only that, I'm going to say it for her. She's got a husband that she's happy with. I know how to make them squirm, don't I? Glory to God. What else could she say here in the presence of all you wonderful people and God looking down upon her? Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to be so happy with what I have. Amen. You know, it's a boon against, a great boon, a great barrier, a great bulwark against temptation. If you're so happy with what you got, you're not looking for something you think you need. And when the devil says, if you had this, you'll have to compromise your faith a little here. But if you have this, it'll make you happy. Say, I don't need that to make me happy. Woo! I've got Him to make me happy, honey. Can you say, man? And adding that, amen, is not going to be the true source of my inward peace and happiness. Paul said, I've learned, and the happiness in Him is so great and so complete and fulfilling. He said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. He said, I've learned how to abound without falling into pride and self-confidence and be uplifted. I know how to be blessed extraordinarily to see the dead raised and have people say the gods have come down to us. And yet, not fall prey to egotism. Amen. And not lift myself up and maintain my humility before God. I know how to abound and keep my senses. And I know how to be abased and not complain. Woo! I know how to be beat up and beat down. Hallelujah. And still get up praising God. Because I have Him. I have Him. I have Him. And I just want to know Him more. So here's what Moses did. He pled for the people. He interceded. And he wanted a place where God would indicate, I'm with you. In Exodus 33, said he took a tent, a tabernacle. The word should be tent in verse 7. Paul said, if our earthly tabernacle were blown down, we have one in the heavens. By a strong wind, we have one in the heavens, not made with hands. That word in the Greek is the same as this word in Hebrew. It means tent. He took a tent made of animal skin. He set it apart from the rest of the camp. And he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Virtually every other translation, from the NIV to the Holman's all the way down, says he called it the tent of meeting. Everybody say, the tent of meeting. Boy, God loves it when we begin to recognize that He wants a fellowship relationship with us. and we begin to seek that relationship with Him. Can you say amen? We're not just satisfied to get to the place of exterior blessings, but we want the blessings, amen, of a relationship with God Himself. Amen? And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation. Everybody say the tent of meeting. Which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle. Everybody say the tent of meeting. That all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door. Because something was going to happen that didn't happen until their leader went out there. And they all said, Moses going to the tent of meeting. Word spread throughout, amen, several million people. Moses going, he's walking toward that tent. They said, something getting ready to happen now. And everybody stood at the door to watch. There wasn't one person, amen, watching Ophrah. There wasn't one person watching Judge so-and-so, Judge Judy. There wasn't one person watching, amen, some sports event that they just couldn't miss. Everybody came to the door of their tent. Everybody began to peer toward the tent of meeting when Moses started walking down there. Amen. And it came to pass, every man that his tent door looked after Moses until he was gone into the tent of meeting. And it came to pass, listen, when Moses came in that place, look what happened. And it came to pass as Moses entered the tent of meeting, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tent of meeting. I'm using tent of meeting for tabernacle because that's what it is in the Hebrew. Amen. And he stood at the door. Amen. Listen, the cloudy pillar, that tells you something, that pillar and that cloud were one and the same. Can you say amen? So they're blended here as a cloudy pillar. And that cloudy pillar, when he went into that place of meeting, God came to meet with him. Isn't that incredible? And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the top. Wouldn't it be something if everybody that began walking in this building this morning saw, amen, a cloudy pillar begin to whirl and whiz around. Amen. As we came in here, that pillar came. You got it. Amen. A pillar of fire. Amen. Superimposed upon this building. And it's on your computer screen and I saw it. That is not some far-fetched, amen, pipe dream of my brother here. When we really come here to not just meet with one another, but to meet with God Himself, God comes to this place of meeting. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, when you enter into your closet, you know what that closet is? That prayer closet? That place of meeting. Woo! You're not just going to talk to God sitting up in heaven. God's going to come down and come to the very door to listen to your prayer. Woo! Somebody give Him praise. I feel like shouting and it's not even time for that yet. Hallelujah! When you worship Him, you're coming to that place, that tent of meeting. God always responds, draw nigh to me. What does He do? I'll draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. That's why we're preaching holiness. That's why we're preaching reverence with thanksgiving. Because we want to come into that place and that God would meet with us. And it came to pass as Moses entered the tent of meeting, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tent of meeting. Verse 9. And the Lord taught with Moses. See, I'm going to preach to you. The Lord wants to talk with you. Can you say amen? Prayer is not just a one-way thing. It's a two-way street where you talk to God and God talks to you. Hallelujah. It's a fellowship thing, not just a petitionary thing. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped. Every man in his tent door. Don't you know that was consoling to those people out in the middle of nowhere? Amen. To see. Amen. Not just a cloud and not just a pillar of fire, but a personal God coming to talk with a man. Halabakoshondaraba nitaraba sataya. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. One Bible commentator said Joshua stayed in the tabernacle in case God wanted to say anything else. Someone would be there to hear it. Joshua's just saying, yeah, God may want to say something else. I'm not leaving here. I'm staying. You ever wonder why people stay after a service is over when God is talking? It's because God just might have something to say to me, and I don't want to miss it. People in the 8:30 service are gone because they're teeing off on the golf course at 10. God has anything else to say other than what the preacher has said, they're going to miss it. But there are some people that are different. There's a revival in Brownsville Assembly of God. I don't know if the doctrine stayed pure. I don't know, amen, what's wildfire, what's real fire. I do know this. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, amen, several years ago, I went to go early, 2 hours early to get a seat. When I got there at 90 degree weather, amen, in North Florida, 90 degrees at 4 in the afternoon, there was a double file line already lined up to get in the building. And when I finally got in, I had to sit where they housed the choir robes. The choir robe closet was where I sat to watch the live service on closed circuit television. But when the altar call was made, the deacon came and got us and said, he wants everybody in the building. And we all filed into that building and stood around the back to watch people run to the mercy seat to receive Christ. I don't know what all the other stuff. All I know is when people are running to the altars to accept Jesus Christ, I glory that Christ is preached. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said, I glory. And believe me, angels are dancing. And God is singing. In Holman's translation, it says, now Moses took a tent, set it up outside the camp, far away from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. Anyone who wanted to consult the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. Isn't that incredible? Wouldn't it have been wonderful just to see that, to be able to see that? Holy Communion is a proclamation of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We do show his death. It means to proclaim. Amen. Every time we do this, we proclaim his death till he comes. We're publicly declaring that all our sins are forgiven, that now we can come into the very presence of God because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice for us. Isn't that beautiful? That's what this whole communion is about. This, in a sense, tells us that we have a tent of meeting, and now we can meet with God, and God can meet with us. The problem is there are too many of us too busy, too detached, too concerned about getting to the place of blessing to begin to cultivate a place of meeting. And so much of our life, we get the house, we get the bills with it, we get the mortgage. How many know if you get the house, you get the mortgage for free? They throw it in. Isn't that great? Can you say amen? Now we're working overtime to meet the mortgage, but we got the house. Amen. And let me tell you something about termites. It don't have to be wood. They'll come up through your tile floor, won't they, George? Amen. The little critters, subterranean termites, will eat through concrete. They are tenacious little rascals. You can have it all. Something's going to touch it. Something's going to taint it. If you've got a great house, but you have a bad marriage, it's not fun, is it? And we need a revival. Get your spouse saved. And a revival that gets you some peace until your spouse gets saved. Because until God can work on your spouse, while you're waiting on him to do that, he would love to work on you. And the one thing he'd like to do in you is give you such peace and such fulfillment in him that you're not so concerned about your lousy spouse all the time. If God can give you joy, maybe your spouse don't have to do that for you. Thought I'd tell you that. Amen. I can't be everything to Pamela. I could try. I could die trying. But unless there's a relationship between her and God, I'll never be what only God can be to my wife. And she can never be what only God can be to me. Mr. Wright is Jesus. And so is Mrs. Wright. There's a lady at work I used to kid all the time. Her name is Shirley Wright. And I said, she married Mr. Wright. I know she did. Said, Rev. The Amplified said, now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting of God with his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went to that temporary tent of meeting. This was before the tabernacle was built. But God was saying, you prepare a place of meeting, and I will come and meet with you. Isn't that incredible? Incredible stuff. Every new covenant Christian has the awesome privilege of entering in to a place of meeting in the presence of God. Every one of you. Everybody here has that privilege. Billy Graham has no more access to God than you. T.D. Jakes, no more access to God than you. God doesn't love him a bit more than he loves you. You say, but I'm all fouled up. Well, join the human race. Access to the presence of God isn't based on whether you're fouled up or not, but whether you reverence Him. Amen. Confess your sins and begin to seek Him with your whole heart. Can you say amen? What do you say if you seek Him with your whole heart? You'll what? You'll what? Not half-heartedly. Amen. But with everything you are, what's going to happen? You're going to find Him. What's going to happen if you find Him? Amen. Go ask the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon. Has anybody seen my beloved? Daughters of the Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved? No. Watchman on the wall, have you seen my beloved? No. Well, I guess he don't love me. I'm going home. No. And then the Bible said, and she went a little further. I love Christians who go a little further than just showing up at church and going to the house and griping about our problems and say, I'm not going to stop until I find a way to get back into the presence of God. For in His presence is fullness of joy. And nothing short of that presence is going to satisfy me. I don't want to just get to the place of blessing. I want to come to the person who's granting it. Hallelujah. And if He don't go with me, I'm not even going to pursue that. But if He does go with me, I'm going to have the best of both. Amen. Blessed on the inside and blessed on the outside. Everybody say, it don't get no better than that. And it really doesn't. Hallelujah. You're blessed on the outside, not blessed on the inside. You're empty. With all this stuff that indicates God is good and He's blessed you, you're still empty. I know people right now that have a lot of things, but they don't have a hunger for God. And they're going to have to get more stuff. They'll always be wanting more because enough will never be enough. Going to have to stay extraordinarily busy because they're lonely and empty when they're alone. God wants your alone times to be so full. Yes, because He wants you to take advantage of a place of meeting. I like the woman who used to do dishes and praise God. She had all these kids and her time of worship was so condensed into her responsibilities without washing machines and laundromats. And she washed clothes on a washboard and planted and hoed corn. Amen. And she had one lady came to our church, said that her mama would be out hoeing corn. Amen. And she said sometimes the Spirit of the Lord would come on her out there hoeing corn and she praised Him. See, some people think they got to be behind stained glass windows with a big old choir singing to stimulate it. She's just so grateful to be a Christian, what Jesus had done. Said sometimes she'd drop her hoe, begin to dance around and shout in the Lord and tear up a whole row of corn. Isn't that incredible? Amen. This one lady said over top of her sink where she did dishes with her own, for three meals a day, it said worship services. Conducted here three times a day. Just had a little sign printed up, put it over her sink, because there she would lift her hands and praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy. You can worship God where you are. You can make a tent of meeting out of a wash basin, out of your automobile. Your automobile on the way to work and on the way home can become more than just a ride to work and a ride home. It can become a place of meeting. Yeah, put the cell phone down and get it off of the country station. I know you don't listen to hip-hop, so I'm going to use something you do. Amen? Turn on some praise. Feed your spirit. Make a place of meeting. Invite God. You build it, He'll come. This is no field of dreams. This is reality. Moses put that tent up and said, I want to meet with the living God. And God said, here I come. Amen. Hallelujah. Draw nigh to God. What happened? Go to church and go home and do things business as usual. No big deal. But actually begin to what? Draw nigh to God. What's going to happen? He'll draw nigh to you. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest. Everybody say a place of meeting. Having therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. The New International said, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Remember that? The wall of separation came crashing down as the flesh was torn in the body of our Savior. As the blood streamed down and puddled at the foot of the cross, a new and living way was opened into the presence of God. Amen? His body broken, ripped, and torn became a veil that opened the way into the presence of God. Isn't that incredible? Through the veil of His torn flesh, we do what? Enter in to the holiest place. Everybody say, what a place of meeting. And the tragedy is the average Christian doesn't enjoy that rich fellowship with a living God. Even though we sing the words, we hear the word preached, and yet we, in our personal devotional life, are so far from that. We're still trying to get to the place of blessing instead of the person who will manifest Himself right now. And so fulfill our hearts and lives. I feel so blessed this morning. Listen, if somebody had it laid on their heart to buy me an Escalade, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not too spiritual for it. I would get in that sucker and drive and have a good time in it and say, thank God for it. But I don't have to have it to be happy this morning, because I have Him. You didn't hear me. And by the way, that won't make me any happier in Him. The ultimate high is Him. Everything else is just a bonus and a blessing. But it all surrounds that relationship with Him. He said, this is my body that is what broken for you. When Jesus broke the bread, He took one loaf and tore it in half. A veil was rent. As His body was rent, the actual veil in the temple was rent. The barrier was opened up and man could come to God. This is so we could come to God. Holy Communion declares that a ransom has been paid, a sacrifice has been accepted, and we're fully accepted in the Beloved, and we can come to God. Not just go to church, we can come to God. A meeting place has been established where we can enjoy fellowship, rich fellowship, with the Father and with the Son. John put it this way in 1 John, for truly our fellowship, our communion, our koinonia is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These were not just people that got saved and then took the rest of it all by faith. He said, we're walking in an actual relationship that we are enjoying with the Father and with the Son. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also has once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us where? Just save us from hell? Just take us to heaven? No. The ultimate goal that saves us from hell and secures us in heaven is that we're now able to come to God. We've been reconciled. Come on, it's not just about escaping hell and going to heaven. It's about coming to God. And you don't have to wait till Jesus comes to come to God. You don't have to wait till you walk through the pearly gates to come to God. All you need is a place of meeting. A devotional place where you come and say, I believe that He is enough to come to this place and expect Him to come and meet me here. I'm going to begin by worshiping Him in this place, sanctifying Him in this place, reverencing Him in this place, praying in this place, praising in this place. But I'm not going to wait on church to take the place of this place. The word bring. Oh, it said that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Through His death, through His flesh, through the veil of His own torn flesh, we can come to God. The word bring is prosago. Prosago in the Greek, and it means to lead, to bring, to open a way of access for one to God. To render one acceptable unto God. Isn't that incredible? Ephesians chapter 1 says, in whom we are accepted in the Beloved. Christ has opened the way for us to come into the presence of God and made us acceptable. Hallelujah. You say, no, in Him you can come. Amen. If you've got sin, come and repent in His presence and be cleansed. God in His great love has sent His Son to bring us to Himself. He takes the initiative. He wants to meet with us. Everybody say the cross. The cross becomes the first place of meeting. That's where the great gulf was spanned, where Jesus bridged that chasm between fallen man and the holy God. Amen. It starts at the cross. Everybody say it all starts at the cross. Oh, by the way, it's sustained by the cross too. Hallelujah. You never get away. You never outgrow. You never get beyond the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us who are saved, we know the value of it. Amen. To us who are saved, it is what? It is the power of God Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the great hymn at Calvary. Remember that? And I love this last verse. It said, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And then the chorus says, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Hallelujah. I said it starts at the cross and it's sustained by the cross. When we come to Christ, all the benefits and blessings of His atoning death are ours. It all begins at the cross. Let me read you from a 9th century preacher and see if it doesn't fit the 21st century gospel, if it is the same gospel. 9th century from Theodore the Studite. I like that. Theodore the Studite. That meant he was a scholar of Scripture. His name was Teddy. Listen to what Teddy the Studite said. How precious the gift of the cross. 9th century. Come on, folks. Listen, this thing is just as contemporary as the 21st. This guy's in the 9th. Do you realize how far back that is? You could probably hardly remember that far back. The 9th century. Amen? I'm going to read what Theodore said about the cross, a Christian from the 9th century. Listen to this and see if it don't sound just fitting for a communion service in the 21st century. Do you realize how long ago that is? How precious the gift of the cross. How splendid to contemplate. In the cross there's no mingling of good and evil as in the tree of paradise. It is wholly beautiful to behold and good to taste. I feel like Theodore the Studite. The fruit of this tree is not death but life. Not darkness but light. The tree does not cast us out of paradise but opens the door for our return. This was the tree on which Christ, like a king on a chariot, destroyed the devil, the lord of death, and freed the human race from his tyranny. This was the tree which the Lord, like a brave warrior, wounded in his hands and feet and side, healed the wounds of sin and the evil serpent had inflicted on our nature. A tree that once caused our death, but now a tree brings life. Once deceived by a tree, we have now repelled the cunning serpent by a tree. What an astonishing transformation, that death should become life, that decay should become immortality, that shame should become glory. Well might the holy apostle exclaim, far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's good preaching in any century. We need to hear more of it in the 21st. He's not through, Theodore the Studite. The supreme wisdom that flowed on the cross has shown the folly of worldly wisdom's pride. The knowledge of all good, which is the fruit of the cross, has cut away the shoots of wickedness. Hallelujah. By the cross, death was slain, and Adam was restored to life. The cross is the glory of all the apostles, the crown of the martyrs, the sanctification of the saints. By the cross, we put on Christ and put aside our former self. By the cross, we, the sheep of Christ, have been gathered into one flock, destined for the sheepfold in heaven. Theodore, the student, wrote in the 8th century about the cross. And doesn't it sound good in the new millennium? How many believe we need to hear more preaching like that about this person and what he's done? Not just this place of blessing, but this person who made it all possible at the cross. Augustine said, brethren, let us fearlessly acknowledge and even openly proclaim that Christ was crucified for us. Let us confess it, not in fear, but in joy, not in shame, but in glory. This is the glory of Holy Communion. Through it, we show the Lord's death. We declare it. We proclaim it till he comes. Amen. Oh, here's another guy. This was the 2nd century. I kept going back to see what these guys had to say. It's amazing. 2nd century. This is just 200, you know. I mean, how many know that's even longer than most of you have been alive? Amen? 2nd century. Listen. Listen to what? It's a homily of Melito of Sardis. This great Christian in Sardis wrote, and we got his words. Isn't that something? See what he says. It says about Jesus. Are you ready for this? He is the one who covered death with shame and cast the devil into mourning, as Moses cast Pharaoh into mourning. He is the one. See, this is about a person, folks, not a place. All this preaching is about a person. All this is about the cross and he who hung on that cross. This was what the original gospel looked like. This is how it was handed down in its pure form. This is what it ought to be in the 21st century. It ought to be about him. He is the one that smote our sin and robbed iniquity of offspring, as Moses robbed the Egyptians of their offspring. He is the one who brought us out of slavery into freedom, out of darkness into light, out of death into life, out of tyranny into an eternal kingdom, who made us a new priesthood, a people chosen to be his own forever. He is the Passover that is our salvation. He's not done. Melito of Sardis. It is he who endured every kind of suffering in all those who foreshadowed him. In Abel he was slain, in Isaac bound, in Jacob exiled, in Joseph sold, in Moses exposed to die. He was sacrificed in the Passover lamb, persecuted in David, and dishonored in the prophets. But it's all about him. Can you say amen? I said it's all about who? Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to hear more preaching about him on Sunday morning. I've heard about Escalades. I've heard about Rolexes. I've heard about great homes, great treasuries of gold and silver. I want to know more about him. Can you say amen? Whom my soul loveth. Have you seen him? The Shulamite woman said, whom my soul loveth. She went a little further and found him. And laid hold on him and took him to her mother's house and would not let him go. Hallelujah. He's not done. It is he who was made man of the virgin. He who hung on the tree. It is he who was buried in the earth, raised from the dead and taken up to the heights of heaven. He is the mute lamb, slain lamb, born of Mary, the fair ewe. He was seized from the flock, dragged off to be slaughtered, sacrificed in the evening and buried at night. On the tree, no bone of his was broken. In the earth, his body knew no decay. He is the one who rose from the dead and who raised man from the depths of the tomb. How many know this guy had it? How many know he ought to be on television right now talking about him? I would send in money to hear him talk about him. Not a new Lamborghini for the preacher, but a cross for the world. Hallelujah. Oh, church, let's give him praise. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah, give him a hand clap if you're going to. Since we have a meeting place and a mediator to bring us there, which is Jesus, let's come into his holy presence. Hebrews 10, 21 through 22 says, and having a high priest over the house of God, this mediator, and the cross, this place where we can come, where our sins are forgiven, we're reconciled, let us draw near. Oh, what a term. In the Greek, you know what it connotates in the deeper study of the Greek? Let us come face to face. This doesn't mean come in close proximity to. Amen. There's a lot of Sunday mornings we get close. And sometimes you feel it. You feel the glory. How many has ever been close enough to feel the glory? That's not what this is talking about. Close enough to feel the glory. It's close enough to see the glory. Amen. It's close enough to get a personal encounter with God that lasts and outlasts your trials, your tests, your personal failures and weaknesses. Amen. Can you say, man? Let us draw near. Everybody say face to face. Let us come face to face. Let us come face to face. See, Moses talked with God mouth to mouth, face to face. Israel knew his wonders, all that he could do. Moses knew his ways. He knew who he was. They sought the place. Moses said, the place is no good without the person. It's not just about getting to the place. It's about coming to know the person. Then we can go to the place. Can you say amen? Amen. I like what Mickey Anders said. I'll read this in closing. Oh, it said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. God wants you to come just as you are. Amen. But he wants to cleanse you when you get there. Can you say amen? Come for cleansing and then enjoy fellowship. Don't let some petty sin keep you from the presence of God. Amen. What distinguishes you and me from the rest of the world? We're certainly no brighter and no better looking. I know that comes as a shock to some of you listening by tape. What is there about folks who gather in this room and in churches across the world that distinguishes us from the folks home in their pajamas on Sunday morning? Just one thing, the presence of God. Amen. Come on, if it's just going to church, there's nothing different between you and that person sitting in their pajamas. But if you're coming to seek the Lord and meet with Him, that distinguishes you. And that makes all the difference. In 1995, and you need this. You'll never find a church, a preacher, a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist to do for you what only you can develop and cultivate in a personal relationship. If you're not walking with God, you are empty, and no one, including me, can fill that hole. Your husband can't, your children can't, your house can't, your car can't. Believe it or not, if you hit lotto tomorrow, you would have a little high for a little while. But after the high is gone, you'll still be empty on the inside. Can you say amen? It's not the place, it's the person that's so fulfilled. In 1995, twin girls, this is closing so we can receive communion. This is incredible about our need for a relationship, our need for God, and listen to this, our need for each other. Amen. Folks, one of the ways he reveals his presence is through each other to each other. Yes. You don't just stand out there and get your own little God fix and stay away from the body of Christ. Yeah. The hand doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. In matter of fact, the Bible said we're fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And it said that every part of the body supplies that every other part needs. There are people here that God's designed to help you. And there are people here that God has designed you to help. You say, I don't believe I could help anybody. Just tell me that sermon made a difference in your life. Because all I know is what I see. And sometimes, I don't know a whole lot. Amen. If you come in sad and you go home sad, I assume that nothing happened. Maybe something's churning down there. Maybe God on the inside. Working on the inside. God can use you. And God can bless you. But you got to hang together for it to happen. Listen to this. With Him and with each other. Can't really separate Him from the body and the body from Him. In Scripture. In 1995, twin girls had been born 12 weeks premature in the medical center hospital in Worcester, Massachusetts. They weighed in at about 2 pounds each. They had been placed in separate incubator bassinets. One started to do just fine. The other began slowly to fade. Her heartbeat was rapid. She was visibly anxious. And nothing the nurses could do seemed to be able to stop what they saw as her inevitable death. Then one nurse remembered something she had read about treatment of premature infants elsewhere in the world. As a last resort, the nurses put little Brielle, B-R-I-E-L-L-E, Brielle, the weaker twin, right into the bassinet with Kyrie, her big sister. Kyrie was 3 ounces bigger. In the words of one of the nurses on duty, the results were both immediate and dramatic. Little Brielle snuggled up to her sister. Her heart rate immediately slowed to normal. Immediately. Wow. Does this tell you anything about stress in a relationship with God? Some of us need to learn how to snuggle up. We need a meeting place where we can snuggle up, not just a chair we can sit in at church, a televangelist we can watch at home. We need a personal place where we and God can connect. Your heart rate can lower. Amen? When she snuggled up to her sister, her heart rate immediately slowed to normal. Her color came back. The baby visibly relaxed. Almost, it seemed, with a sigh of relief, she accepted nourishment. The crisis was over. She would survive. In there, snuggling with her sister. We're like that little baby. Every one of us are like that little baby. Deeper than words, back behind all conscious thought, we know that we really need a sense of the special presence of God in our lives. Even when we cannot express or fully understand our hunger for God, the hunger remains. When we don't have that presence, our lives waste away. Even in church work and preaching and teaching and evangelizing. We were made for God. Amen. And we were made for fellowship with each other. Amen. When we are isolated and alone, we're in trouble. Look at the people that just going to hang out with God on their own. They don't hang out with God at all long. Amen. They drift away just as sure as I'm preaching to you this morning. When they lose fellowship with you, they've already lost fellowship with God. Hello? I'm serious about that. You sit at home with a bad attitude, you've lost fellowship with God. No marvel that you'll leave the rest of us and not show up and become part of any church. We need to be close to God. Amen. When we're isolated, alone, or in trouble, serious trouble, like tiny 2-pound Braille, we need to be close to God and close to others who love us. Deep down within us, we have a need to be part of the family of God. And church is a glorious thing. Come on, with all of our faults and failures, we need to be here this morning in His presence and in each other's presence. Thomas Kelly wrote in closing, "Within us is a meeting place with God who strengthens and invigorates our whole personality and makes us new creatures with new values and estimates of the world about us, seen through the eyes of direct and spontaneous love. We learn to be worked through. Serenity takes the place of anxiety. Fretful cares are replaced by deep and certain assurance and peace. And that only comes from the presence of the Lord." Will someone please serve us Holy Communion? Have you enjoyed this service? Has it meant anything to you today? Are you challenged? You think things may change a bit in our life? Amen. Amen. Brother, would you? Number two. I want us to remember Him these next few moments. Sean will bring the word tonight. I pray you'll come first Sunday. I'll take a much needed rest until things change. We can have a Sunday and Wednesday service and maybe all of us rest more.